John chapter 11, verses number 23 to 26. Verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is one of the more famous chapters in the New Testament. Mary and Martha have called for Jesus because their brother Lazarus was sick. Then they believed if Jesus could make it in time before their brother died, that he could heal Lazarus. But when Jesus, if you read the whole chapter, Jesus finds out Lazarus is sick and then he waits until Lazarus is dead. And nobody understands that in this chapter. Mary and Martha definitely don't. Because once Lazarus dies, their conception of Jesus was if Jesus could make it before my brother dies, he'll heal him and he won't die. But now that Lazarus is dead, they don't think Jesus can do anything. And Jesus gives us this chapter in the Bible to show us his power over death as well as sickness. Jesus arrives 4 days late. Look at verse number 20 if you'll keep your Bible open to John chapter 11. Look at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I preached a little message on this a couple of weeks ago, but this is a slap in Jesus' face. She says, Lord, because she's supposed to, but she rebukes Jesus. This is a rebuking statement. She's saying to our Savior, if you would have been here when we called you, my brother wouldn't have died. There's no picture of the resurrection in this. She doesn't have it. Jesus knows what he's going to do, but this is a rebuke. She is correcting Jesus. She's disagreeing with Jesus, and she's saying, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. She's basically saying, in a roundabout, this is your fault. We called you when he was sick, and you could have made it here in time, but now he's dead. Putting it back on him. Keep on reading. Verse 22, watch this. Now she's still talking here. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So, she did believe that. She said it because it was right and it sounded good, but she really didn't believe that. Sometimes we say things that we know we're supposed to say, but we really don't believe it. That's exactly what's happening here. Look at verse number 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, she's thinking, Lord, I know you created us and you're the Savior, and someday way out in the future, in the last day, you're going to rise everybody up from the dead. I know that. But right now, my brother is dead. Right now, my brother's dead. She doesn't believe Jesus can do anything now. She knows he's going to do something in the future, but not now in this crisis and heartbreak that she's suffering. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I think this is amazing. Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's not what Jesus asked her. Does everybody see that? Jesus said, do you believe this, what I just told you? Yes, I believe that you're the Lord and you're the Christ. And it's not what he asked her. She's in la-la land, total disconnected from what Jesus is trying to get across here. First of all, when you look at verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus said, I am, that was in reference to Exodus 3. When God told Moses, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them the I am hath sent you. That's the name of God. Yahweh, the I am, the ever-present one, the eternally present one, the one who always is and who always will be present. Not the past or future, the I am. That's God's name, the Yahweh. Or you could say Jehovah, the self-existent one. Jesus was saying here, he was the Jehovah, creator God of the Old Testament. The book of John, the whole book of John, shows us that Jesus is God. In John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life and the living bread that came down from heaven." In John 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And then He says in John 8, "Before Abraham was, I am." He's declaring Himself as God Almighty in the flesh. He said, "You think Abraham's big because he's the starter of the Hebrew race?" He said, "I'm the one that called him, and before Abraham was ever born, I existed." What a God! That's John 8. In John 10, Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd." In John 14, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Now Jesus tells Mary in chapter 11, "I am who I am, and you're not. You're not in control. I am. I'm God Almighty. I know what's going on. I am." Jesus is all of these because we need Him, and we're none of those things. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He says, He is the door of the sheep. He's the way. He's the true. He's the light of the world. He's the living bread. We're none of those things. Now, when you look at verse number 26, Jesus said, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus Christ is the life, but that's the simplest part of this declaration. I think everybody knows, yeah, Jesus is life. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is, okay, I understand that part. Let's think about that just for a second. In John chapter 1, you're in John chapter 11. Go to the first chapter there real quick, and we'll just look at this. Watch this. Look at the first verse of the first book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word," capital W. "And the Word," capital W, "was with God. And the Word," capital W, "was God." Who's the Word, capital W? That's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was God. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him," by the Lord Jesus. "And without Him," the Lord Jesus, "was not anything made that was made." Verse 4, "In Him," in Jesus, "was light. And the life was the light of men." So Jesus Christ is the life. There is no life before Him. All life comes from Jesus Christ. All life continues and exists because of Jesus Christ. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now, in later on, you know what? I think it'd be good if we just went to 1 John. Look, go to 1 John chapter 1. When you read the book of John, if you were reading the Bible in chronological order, and we don't, praise the Lord. I like how the Bible's laid out right now, okay? I like how God laid it out. But the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation are the last books of the Bible penned in chronological order by the Apostle John. So when we're reading John and we're reading what God gave us through John, we're reading some of the last books God used to pen. You say, why? Look at the declaration here. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Ready? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon," and watch this, "and our hands have handled of the word of life." What a statement. He's saying, I'm the Apostle John. I touched Him. Our hands handled Him. We heard Him talk. We touched Him. Look at verse 2. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So the life, there in verse 2, God says is the eternal life. You say, I know that, I don't think anybody in here would disagree with me right now, but Jesus Christ didn't show John, if you know that these are the last books of the Bible, okay, last books in chronological order, I think it's just amazing. Jesus didn't show John the New Jerusalem come down out of heaven and say, "This, John, is eternal life." Jesus didn't show John a river coming out of the throne and streets of gold and say, "John, this is eternal life." Jesus Christ walked into the room and said, John, this is eternal life. I am life. I am eternal life. Heaven is not the life. Jesus Christ is the life that makes heaven what it is. He's the creator. You're in 1 John. Let's look at one more verse in 1 John. Go to the last chapter, chapter 5. Look at verse number 20. 1 John chapter 5. Jesus tells Martha, I am the way, the truth, and I am the resurrection and the life. What he's saying, he's not just saying, he's saying, I am life itself. I am life itself. Look at verse number 20. And we know, I'm in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus Christ was God Almighty in the flesh and eternal life. That's why now you're in 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Ready? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior because you believe he died for you and rose again, you have eternal life. And if you don't have Jesus, I feel sorry for you. If all you have is a church, if all you have is a religion, if all you have is a belief system, you don't have life. You say, well, I got baptism and I got good works. You don't have life until you have Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ gives you eternal life, but Jesus Christ joins you to himself when you place your faith in him, because he is the life. Listen closely. I'm as alive today as I will be tomorrow if the rapture happened tonight. If I physically die on this platform, I don't have any plans on that, okay? But if I did, if I died physically on this platform, before you could figure out that it was not a sermon illustration, and you came up here and you checked for a pulse, and you found I wasn't breathing, and my body was physically dead. Listen now, you will not take me to the funeral home. Listen, I'm gone already. Do you understand? You won't bury me in the ground, and I won't wait there until the resurrection. I will be absent from this body and present with the Lord. That's if I died physically. I know it's going to happen someday. Hope is no time soon. I'd like to go out in the rapture. Okay? However, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ because he died for your sins and nothing else, you're joined to the life and the resurrection, because that's who Jesus is. You're joined to the life. Adam fell and death came by sin. That passed upon all men. Our spiritual death helps us understand why Jesus Christ told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. You say, why? Because there can be no resurrection without death. Resurrection is not necessary if there is no death. The Lord created man and gave him life. Then when man sinned, that brought death, and God could have said, fine, I gave you life, now just die, just stay dead. God didn't do that, right? We fell into sin. We were dead. God didn't do that. The one who is life voluntarily made himself the resurrection. Everyone who got their life from God is dying because of the sin of Adam right now, right? Doesn't the Bible say over and over again, Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. So the one who is life came on the scene to be the resurrection and the life. With our text in John chapter 11. Now, Mary and Martha, if you want to go back to John chapter 11, you may. Mary and Martha knew that God existed in the beginning, and God would one day raise everybody up. Let me just pause here. You're going to John chapter 11. Did you know everybody gets a resurrected body? Everybody. Whether you're saved or lost, everybody in here is going to get a body that's resurrected. Everybody in here gets an eternal body that never dies. Those that are lost, if you want to look this up, we don't have time this morning, but it's in John chapter 5. Jesus said, Those that are saved are going to be raised to the resurrection of life, and those that are lost to the resurrection of damnation. That's what makes hell so awful. It is a place of burning and screaming in an eternal body that can't die. They just burn over and over again. But for somebody to say, well, resurrection, that's just for those that are saved. No, 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 no. The Bible teaches in the Old and New Testament, every person in here is going to get a resurrected body, a supernatural eternal body. But your eternity is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. But no, everybody in here gets a resurrected body. Every person. Now back to our story in John chapter 11. The God that Mary and Martha believed in didn't seem to have much to do with them right now that their brother is dead. Jesus is trying to say to them on this day, and when he stands in front of Lazarus's tomb, I am the God who can raise the dead today, just as easily as in the end of days. In so much of our day-to-day living, God is out. God is either in the past or he's out there in the future. Yes, I know heaven's a real place and the New Jerusalem and streets of gold, but Pastor, right now, I have my flesh to deal with. I have temptations and struggles and supporting my family and financial struggles, and I have... Jesus didn't say in John 11, I am the life and I will be the resurrection one day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection now and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's a lot of preaching on the internet. People preach about what's wrong with America. People preach about a whole lot of things. But listen closely. When you read the book of Acts, why is that important? Read what saved men in the Bible told lost men. Right after Jesus rose from the dead, what did saved men tell lost men? And if you study the book of Acts, listen closely. You'll find hell is mentioned 2 times in 28 chapters. Heaven is mentioned 0. Saved is mentioned 3 times. Repent is mentioned 4 times. Listen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ in 28 chapters is mentioned 24 times. What did saved men tell lost men after Jesus rose from the dead? They didn't. Their message wasn't, would you like to go to heaven? Their message was not, you need to repent. Their message was not, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. That wasn't the message. Although that is true. That wasn't their message. They told the world what one man did that no one else could do. Rise from the dead. They told the world what one religion had that no other religion has. They told people that were dying that someone walked out of the grave. It's beautiful that the one who is the life is also the resurrection. This is not a contradictory statement. Now I want to just show you the resurrection here just for a second. In Acts 13:30, it says, God raised him from the dead. As a man, Jesus is going to be put to death on a cross. But as God, he has power to lay down his life and take it again. This is important because Jesus has always been 100% God and 100% man. He wasn't 100% God, then became 100% man when he was born in Bethlehem, live 30 years on this life, and then go from being 100% man to being 100% God when he went back to heaven. He was 100% God who took on him 100% man. Jesus Christ is all God and all man right now. Right now. He always has been. That's why as man, Jesus Christ is dependent on his Father to get him out of the grave. As God, he's breaking the bands of death, stopping the serpent's head, and delivering us from the fear of the grave as God and man. In John chapter 10, you're in John chapter 11, turn back one chapter, look at verse number 17. Therefore, John 10, 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That tells me this. Nobody murdered Jesus. Let's take it one step further. Nobody killed Jesus. He was in complete control the whole time and knew exactly what was going on. He said, "Nobody's taken nothing from me. I'm giving it. And I can give it because I can take it back." All the talk, who killed, and all the emotionalism that they want you to have. Think of this. As a man, Jesus Christ is nailed to a cross by soldiers. As a man, Jesus is betrayed by a man, tried by men, bound by men, beaten by men. He's nailed to a cross by men, and his body is laid in a tomb by men. But as God, the soldiers that came to get him, he knocks flat on their back. He heals Malchus's ear that Peter cut off. To this day, I still haven't figured that out. How do you cut off somebody's ear when you swing a sword? Even if you do this, for the sword to come this way, it seemed like it'd catch part of your shoulder. I don't know how. I'm going to ask the Lord. I want to see that video when we get to heaven. I believe it. How do you do that? He heals Malchus's ear after Peter cuts it off. As God, he told Pilate that he was the truth and was not of this world. And as God, he rose from the dead and took the keys of life and death and said, "I am alive forevermore." So right now, how does all this apply to us? So right now, as a child of God, I'm saved, and one day I'm going to be raptured. But now I have this flesh to deal with, the two natures. I've placed my faith in Jesus to save me. One day he's going to catch me away as he resurrects me from the grave and takes me to heaven. But until I get to heaven, I have a fight on my hands. Please take your Bible. Let's look at two more places. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So we've gone from John chapter 11 where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we're looking into what did Jesus mean by that. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Ready? Philippians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament there. Chapter 3, verse number 9. Okay, watch this. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So he's saying I'm saved. Look at verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So Paul said in verse number 9, I'm saved. I don't have my own righteousness. I'm trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. But I want to know him. What benefit does that bring me? Because if I know him, he gives me the power of his resurrection now. I know I'm going to be resurrected. I'm talking about living a victorious Christian life now. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you know the Lord. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you walk with God. Let's go a further step. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you love Jesus. I hope nobody's that naive. Well, everybody in church loves Jesus. I wish. That would be a nice thought. Everybody here is at a different level, right? And if you're seeking to grow, that's what you ought to be doing. I may love him this much, but I want to love him more. I want to serve him more. I want to do more. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen closely. I need to know the Lord and walk with him now because God wants me to know his resurrection power now to make it through my trials and my heartaches and my misunderstandings and my burdens now. I am going to be resurrected one day, but if you would walk with God and love the Lord and give God your heart, in return, he gives you resurrection power. And you only have his power as you know him. That's why it's sad to watch Christians struggle. Well, here I am in this burden and I'm going to handle it my way. Have you prayed about it? Have you talked to the Lord? Are you doing what God wants you to do? No, I'm going to get through that. And you watch Christians fall flat on their face. No victory, no power. They're trudging along, but nothing now. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." God wants me to know resurrection power now so I'll be more like Jesus and less like myself. I'm supposed to be changing to be more and more like Christ until I'm resurrected so I'll enjoy my resurrection. Did you know there's going to be some people that were saved? They die, wasted their life on self. Then they're going to get resurrected. They're going to go to heaven. Do you know why? Nothing that they did, but because they were saved. They're going to be amazed when they get to heaven. Wow, I made it. Wow, this is... But they won't have anything. Nothing. They'll be in heaven. They'll be saved, yet so is by fire. But they won't have anything. Why should I want and be interested in Jesus, who's the resurrection and the life now, so that I can love Him, give myself to Him, so He can give me that power now to live a victorious Christian life, so that when I get to the resurrection that is in the future, I'll enjoy it and won't be ashamed. Won't be ashamed. You see, we believe what God did, and we believe what God is going to do. Because He's the resurrection and the life, though, you're to trust Him to save you because He's life. But you're supposed to let Him change you now so you can grow in Christ after you're saved. This morning, God can help you with your bad habits right now. That's your choice. It's not God's. God wants to. The only reason God doesn't work more in our life isn't because God isn't willing. It's because we're not willing. We're the issue. We're the cog in the wrench, in the gears. Do you understand? It's not because God doesn't want to help you and work with you and show you and teach you and grow you. I'm the problem. My flesh is the problem, not the Lord. Amen? Watch this. God can help you with your carnality right now. God can help you with your personality right now. Jesus is not just the life. Praise God, He's the resurrection and the life. I'm going to die physically one day, but because I placed my faith in Christ, I am one with the resurrection. Sin is going to put my body in the grave, but the resurrection is going to get me out of it. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died according to the Scriptures. He wasn't shot with an arrow. He wasn't run over with a chariot. He wasn't strangled or boiled. He died according to the Scriptures, and He rose again according to the Scriptures. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let the skeptical, unbelieving disciples in. Well, the stone had to be rolled away so Jesus could get out of there. He was God. He could get out of anywhere. He could have blown up the tomb if He wanted to. What do you mean? Well, the stone was rolled away. The disciples were the ones who weren't believing. Jesus knew what was happening. When you take your Bible and let's look at one more verse here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse number 14. I don't know what the resurrection means to you. I hope it means a lot to you as a Christian. John chapter 11 is teaching Mary and Martha. Jesus is saying, yes, I am the power that's going to resurrect everybody in the future. But I can help your brother who's dead now. But nobody believed it until He said, Lazarus, come forth. You can handle our problems now. Yes, I am the resurrection and the life now. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Ready? For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I wish you'd underline that word constraineth in your Bible. You know what the word constrain means? It means all of your options are taken away. Think of it this way. If you were in a wide plain, and as the mountains get narrower and narrower, it gets to the point where you have to go through this crack sideways, and it's touching your chest and your back as you go. That's being constrained. That means I no longer have the option of going all the way over here or all the way over there. I have this, a spot to fit through. What is it that constrains us and removes our options? The love of Christ. So listen closely. The more you love Jesus, the less options you have. The love of Christ is supposed to be what restricts us. Well, I have to do this or I have to do that. Where does the love of Jesus fit in there? The more you love Christ, the less you're allowed to do because of your relationship with Him. I don't listen to rock music because I love the Lord. Not because I go to Gospelite Baptist Church. Preacher finds out about it. I mean, it's just going to be... Really? The love of Christ is what constrains us. Amen? It's the love of Jesus because of what He did for me, and I don't want to break His heart. I do it enough. Constrains or restricts me. How come I don't drink alcohol? Because I love the Lord. How come I name anything I don't do? It's supposed to be because of the love of Christ, not because, well, someone said. It's amazing. It's sad when you hear Christians talk that way. Because Jesus never enters the mix. The love of Christ takes away all of my options. And the love of Jesus is what lets me do what I do and what I don't do. That's Christianity. That's what's supposed to be happening. That's not how you hear people talk. And it's how you ought to hear people talk, right? The love of Christ constraineth us. This is talking about a changed life. Let me just phrase it this way. The more you get to know about the love of Jesus and how much He loves you, the fewer options you have in life. Look at verse 15. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. What a verse. I'm not supposed to live for me. Well, I just need more me time. That's not the way a Christian talks. That's the way a lost person talks. Because this is as good as it gets if you're lost. Because when your heart beats for the last time, you'll be in a hell forever that will never stop. So I guess if you're lost, yeah, live it up. Because this is as good as it gets. Do your me time thing, whatever you need to do. But if you're a Christian, if you're saved, this is as bad as it gets. Take your worst heartbreak, take your worst pain, take your worst misunderstanding. This is as bad as it gets. Because when my heart beats for the last time, I'm gone. Amen? And all the suffering and misunderstanding and tears and pain, it's done. I'm not supposed to be living for this world. That's verse 15. Let's look at this is all talking about a changed life. Letting Jesus change you after He saves you. Look, and if you doubt that, look at verse 17. Watch this. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this morning, Jesus Christ wants to save you and give you life. But Jesus Christ is not just the life. He's the resurrection and the life. So Jesus will save you if you'll believe on Him, if you'll allow Him to. But Jesus Christ will also change you if you'll let Him, because He's the resurrection. John chapter 11, I know I've said it and I'm almost done. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The resurrection, we celebrate it this morning and I'm so glad we serve a risen Savior. But the resurrection is not an event or a time, it's a person. Just like salvation is not a religion, it's not a church, it's not a system. Salvation is a person. If you're spiritually dead, lost, and you believe on Jesus Christ, you will live. You'll be born again because Jesus Christ is eternal life. If you're saved and you believe Jesus Christ is the resurrection now, because He said so, there isn't a problem you'll face this week that He can't help you with. You could put yourself in Mary and Martha's shoes in John chapter 11. Well, Lord, You're in control of this thing. I wouldn't have lost my job if it wasn't for You. You'd be amazed at everything God gets blamed for. I hear people blame God a lot. Well, this is God's fault. This accident's God. How come Lazarus died? He said, so the glory of God could be seen. Maybe the problems you're going through, God's waiting for you to look up. God's trying to get your attention and say, are you ready? You don't control everything you think you do. I can help you anytime. This message is supposed to be an encouragement of whatever you're facing this week, whatever you're scared of. You don't know, though. I got to do this and this and I've got this. Jesus is the resurrection and the life now. And He can help you if you'll let Him. I hope that's a help. Father, please use this truth this morning and bless these people. Thank You. We serve a risen Savior. But Lord, we don't have to wait for the resurrection to see You work in our lives. You can work today if we'll let You.